for 9 years in a row, ranking Arizona's number one most trusted referral network, RosieOnTheHouse.com.
Information that you can't get anywhere else.
And 30 years of Rosie on the House.
And good morning, y'all, and welcome back to Rosie on the House on this beautiful Arizona Saturday summer morning. We are Arizona's weekend wake-up call, broadcasting for the past 30 years with the sole purpose of becoming every Arizona homeowner's best friend. We try and dig down on topics occasionally, pick a particular topic, and dive down deep so you learn the topic at more than just a surface-level knowledge. And today, in the whole month of August, we're talking about water. And today we're talking about water treatment. And to do that, we brought in our Rosie certified water treatment expert serving the Pima County area, Mr. Jack Eversole of Connecticut Water of Tucson. Jack, thanks for coming in, man.
Good morning, Rosie.
All right. You're welcome. Thank you for taking the time for coming in. I know we're on one of your favorite topics.
Arizona Wildcats?
That's probably your first one, but right behind that comes
water.
And then your family is
Before water, yes. Thank you, Rosie.
but water is up there, I know, and you know it well. As a kid that grew up in a home without treated water, our uncle had treated water, took a little getting used to. That was down in South Louisiana. We moved out to Arizona, still no treated water. Actually, Romy was the first one in building his house that went water treatment. Mm-hmm. And boy, when I really spent a little time getting used to living with it, I don't think I could ever go back. And I know for a fact Jennifer could never go back to municipal supplied water. And not because it isn't safe, but it just chlorine,
the smells,
enriched,
the taste,
for sure.
The odors.
Yeah.
Ugh. And that's been over the last, going on 17, 18 years, and we're really experiencing the higher levels of chlorine since 9/11 occurred. And that chlorine is out there to help kill bacteria and germs in the water.
Ooh, man. Well, they're packing it in there because you could, standing in the shower, you could smell it.
Amen. Yeah. Right now, that chlorine level here in the greater Tucson area, running about 1.5 to 1.75 parts per million, which is pretty near ideal for your swimming pool.
Is it really? It's that high?
It's that high.
Being delivered to the house.
And we come out, we test the water, and we actually show that to the customer. The problem with the chlorine, besides the smells, the taste, the odors, that's why a lot of major refrigerator companies have gone with carbon block filters in the refrigerator to eliminate them, is that it destroys the flapper valves in your toilets over a period of time. You start getting that black ring. And it doesn't help much with your skin or your hair either. With eczema, psoriasis, dryness of the skin, it contributes to it.
Well, and then once your palate develops a palate for chlorine-free water, you can almost never go back.
You can't go back. And my wife and I were just on vacation here recently up to the wonderful city of Las Vegas, Nevada, and three times higher than what Tucson is. And just that smell, just it rips apart iced tea, everything you drink.
The chlorine level's three times higher?
Yes, it is.
Well, they got that big, long straw going into Lake Mead, you know?
And a big ring afterwards
if you check
it out.
Big ring, that's for sure. I was talking to somebody the other day that there's actually someone proposing, hey, why don't we just drain the Snake River and send it down to Lake Mead and fill
sure.
it back up? Snake
sure.
River, it would be a pipeline shorter than the Alaskan oil pipeline.
That's exactly right.
And we'd just be transporting water.
And the fun part is Tucson gets the residual with the CAP.
That's right.
Central Arizona Project.
Now, as a kid growing up, I always heard rumors that maybe we'd draw a straw over to Puerto Penasco.
When I was a kid.
And desalinate it somewhere around Naco. You know?
Exactly. But I remember as a kid, you know, back here in Tucson in the early 70s, we're on groundwater. And we go out there and PE and run around and we drop and right over to the siphons to drink the water. And there was no issues back then. But I don't recommend doing it now.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, if we're going to have to put a straw anywhere to get more water down to us, I'd prefer it to be the Snake River than the Gulf of California.
Amen to that.
Because
right.
by the time it gets to the Gulf of California, man, it's been a long, long way.
It is a long straw.
But water is such a simple thing. I mean, it covers, what, two-thirds of the planet of the Earth?
That's exactly right.
But only like 3% of it is
right.
clean.
Is usable.
Potable. Consumable for human consumption.
That is correct.
So it's a limited commodity, so we have to take care of it. We have to treat it right. And the municipalities are doing their due diligence. They're
That's
taking it.
That's one thing. Central Arizona Project here in Tucson's done an awesome job. I love them. But we just take over from there. For those folks who are concerned, don't like the itchy, dry skin, they don't like the white scaling in the dishwasher, the faucets, the fixtures, and that's where we take over.
Well, in the 70s, when Tucson was, what, 600,000?
Less than that.
Yeah, probably less than that. We didn't have the CAP.
Nope.
And we were operating off
groundwater.
City wells, groundwater. And we were pulling water out of the desert soil at what hardness levels?
I would say between 3 and 5 grain of hardness.
3 to 5 grain down in the Tucson Basin area.
And very, very, if not any, chlorine at all.
Okay, then we dig a 265-mile-long ditch, line it with concrete, take water out of the Colorado River. The entire 247 miles to get Tucson, we're evaporating a lot.
Correct.
It's literally getting harder by the mile.
Correct.
Is that an exaggeration?
No, I think you're right on target, Rosie.
Yeah, so by the time we reintroduce the CAP water, which we need to be the size city that we are now, you're introducing a hardness in the 70s that were 3 to 5.
And we're sitting today at 15 to 18 grain of calcium hardness.
And that's just an average valley-wide.
That's valley-wide for Tucson.
Yeah.
Throughout the city, heading up to the Oro Valley area as well, as they start taking on the CAP water as well.
Okay. So that hardness means what?
Calcium buildup destroys the plumbing over a period of time. And I don't care if you have PVC, PEX, galvanized, Wiersbo, it just adheres to everything. And think of an artery. Your artery, if we eat the wrong foods, they start to collect, and it builds and it builds, and it starts to restrict the flow. Well, the calcium hardness does the same thing. And that's why we come out and we can show you how that can be rendered and how it can be fixed.
Okay. So the hardness is one issue.
Chlorine is another issue.
Chlorine is a completely different issue.
And then we have your health, and that will come with the drinking water. And when we test the drinking water, we measure for inorganic calcium, magnesium, lead, crypto, Girardia. These inorganics that can only be removed or extracted by boiling, distilling, or using the process of reverse osmosis. So we come out and offer the complete package to our customer.
And reverse osmosis, a good way to paint that picture for the homeowner, it's like a microfiltration.
That is
through
correct.
Multiple layers.
We have 5 filters right now in the Kinetico system that'll make 99.99999% pure microbiologically safe water. So if you're worried about cryptosporidium, arsenic, lead, hexavalent chromium, heck, we're even certified for hepatitis A, hepatitis E, and anthrax.
All right. So a delivery of clean water. We call that the point of use.
That's exactly right.
And I think water treatment industry, both on a government level and a private level, are getting to the point where they're growing more and more comfortable with saying, homeowners, we're going to deliver you safe water, but point of use is your last level of protection.
That's correct. It's on you, the customer.
And I think it's going to be going more and more that way as I see it, coast to coast.
Throughout the country. Yeah. I agree.
So I want to talk about some of the myths that are out there as it relates to water treatment and some of the myths about how you do or you don't create soft water. There's a lot of equipment out there that talks about, I think most of their marketing material now has the word softened off of it, and they're just water treatment units.
Conditioned water.
Conditioned water.
Is the new
That's right.
verbiage.
And what are they in relation to a true softener?
A water conditioner will eliminate 3 to 8% of the calcium hardness. It's basically a tank of carbon, activated carbon. And the carbon will extract the chlorine, the chloramine, some pesticides. But if you check with your local Arizona Water Quality Association, they'll state to you, unless you're using an ion exchange, whether it be salt or potassium, the unit will not take out calcium hardness. You've got to use it.
You've got to have the ion exchange.
That's exactly right.
And the activated carbon charcoal is the number one filter for getting the chlorine out.
Taste and odors.
Taste and odors.
Your refrigerator filter. Taste and odor. That's all it is.
And most of the manufacturers have gone to that little simple cartridge that you date when you screw it in and you remind you to replace it every once in a while.
$60 to $80, 3 months, 4 months later, you replace it.
Do we even want to talk about the 6 and 7 and 8 year old carbon filters that people have in their refrigerators and underneath their counters.
It's pretty sad.
And leading to the ice makers.
Because it does have a shelf life. There is definitely a shelf life.
Now, once we take that chlorine out and we're delivering it to the kitchen sink, now that water has taken on some new properties.
As I tell my customers, the water will be palatable through the faucet or through the refrigerator, and that's its limitation. And able to cleanse it more, you've got to use that reverse osmosis, run it through a set of filters to remove those inorganics from the water that no whole house system will do.
And when we store that water in that RO reservoir underneath the sink, now that's virtually pure water.
Correct.
Does it have a shelf life sitting in that container?
I tell my snowbirds when they come home from Illinois, Michigan, wherever they've been the last 7 or 8 months to get to escape the beautiful Arizona heat in the summer that we're so used to empty their tank. It's not going to be that hazardous to drink, but just a recommendation to drain it.
And you're going to empty it by just turning on the little gooseneck valve?
That's exactly right.
And it runs till it drains out?
And when it drains out, fill it right back up again, and you're good to go.
How much time will it take for that RO system to refill that, what,
our
a
membrane,
gallon and a half
reservoir? Our membrane is a 44-gallon-a-day membrane, so henceforth about 45 minutes to an hour in reality.
Yeah, so you're going to be without that water for the first hour you're back home.
In reality, Rosie, the system will keep manufacturing the purified water, just it'll take, you know, about an hour to get a gallon back.
All right. We're here talking water and water treatment with Jack Eversole of Kinetico Water of Tucson. We're here for the rest of the hour talking to you about what you do and don't have to be worried about when it comes to treating water. You know, water conditioners, hey, you know what? A paddle and a 5-gallon bucket can be a water conditioner.